3540, and also there's a tape you can leave a message on. It's the city council hotline, same kind of number. So
they call it a hotline?
I call it a hotline. It's actually just a message line.
A lukewarm line.
Kind of pretty cool line, actually. Very uncool to some, but
I think it's cool they have a message system if they answer their calls.
Oh, yeah.
To use a word from the vernacular from the 50s. Listen, I wanted to tell you one other thing before it gets too late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to tell everyone, but I guess I can only tell your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I understand through Hungry Women United and one of their members calling here when I wasn't here last night that at noon, is this right?
Mm-hmm.
At noon outside the county building, there's going to be a tug of war between those who represent corporations and the vested interests of money,
mm-hmm.
and on the other side of the rope will be poor families.
This is in 15 minutes?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and it should be a fun drama, so if you're bored or if you can help, go down, and it might be fun.
Oh, wow, so hop into your swimming suits and join the tug of war.
Oh, and I'm told that after we see who wins the tug of war, the participants and anyone else who wants to join are going up to talk to McPherson, who is our area's representative to the state legislature.
He's a former publisher of the Sentinel, right?
Well, he's the heir of the... Well, I guess he was a so-called publisher a while, or an editor or some. He's one of the people who inherited the money of the Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could call him a publisher. Maybe he was. Maybe he's the one that sold it out to the McClatchy chain. Who knows?
Mm.
Anyway, right now he's representing people like us in the state legislature. He needs to hear from us, and I assume that the topic will include some concern about the state budget planning to cut assistance to families that need help and other social serving programs, as if they hadn't already been shaven to the bone. So, be there. Your radio show's over at noon. You should go, too.
Mm, I might do that. I have to go down to the...
Especially if you have a camera.
Wish I did. I probably do somewhere. Well, is there anything... Let's see. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Not particularly. Don't forget Housing Now is at 426-7701.
And what would you like people to call Housing Now about?
Well, what we do is try to change public perceptions and attitudes toward low-income and homeless people in the interest of moving human and civil rights into to give these things back to people who happen to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider our work a function of advocacy. We also try to place a supportive roles on any sort of community activities that homeless people themselves decide they want to take on. This week that might mean taking some shampoos and soaps down to the Women's Power Hour at one of Karen Gillette's programs.
Now, what is happening out there with Karen's program? Have you gotten any new news?
I don't know. Last time I went there, I had to go to the bathroom, and it was so heaped up in the porta potty I couldn't do it, so I haven't been back lately.
When did you go out there?
I shouldn't say that's Karen's program. That was actually in the field.
Interface Satellite Shelter Program, yeah.
That was when George Solis was visiting, I don't know.
Yeah, actually there was I think they added two porta-potties, but the latest word is that they're still overflowing, and it's...
So they added two more pickups, or dumpings.
Oh, I see.
But I heard from one of our friends in the street that the company that dumps the porta-potties comes through there about the same time breakfast is served.
Oh, that sounds appropriate.
So let's work on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to hang up so other people can call you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm. Go there at noon at the county building.
Noon at the county building for a tug of war.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you are. Activists right and left letting us know what's happening out in the community. And this could be your opportunity, too, to let the people know what they need to know so they can do what they have to do. Well, we let the city council know something. I mentioned to you about the three vehicles on a church property bill that passed, which seems actually pretty obvious, and one would think the conservatives would support an even bigger bill allowing property rights of private owners to be inviolate and untrammeled, but they seem to be concerned about property rights only if they don't enfranchise lower-income people, only if they don't empower people who are poor, even if they don't bring the wrong types of people into the community. If they do, then property rights are not as sacred as they used to be. Also, you might think that conservatives who are talking about a constitutional amendment for so-called religious freedom, meaning the freedom of schools to start imposing Christian prayers on other faiths, which is what they want to do, reading them at graduation services and so forth, they would be concerned about churches having the right to use their own parking lots, and that's if they're engaging in charitable church work, and there's no violation of city codes, they should be left unmolested, and that this kind of a three-vehicle exception would be not only supported, but regarded as almost unnecessary, that there should be a broader respect for the rights of churches to handle their own affairs. But unfortunately, we don't have conservatives. What we have essentially is a form of class war going on here, and a form of bigotry, where actually the people are identifying the wrong targets. You find people like Carol Boozenhart, a tax protester and anti-homeless activist, who in 1990 came to the Santa Cruz City Council with a bunch of red-shirted thugs demanding that the homeless be essentially removed from town by a harsher camping ban, a harsher sleeping ban, so that the first violation would be a misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months in jail. She turns her guns on homeless people, poor people, and in fact she should be turning her guns on the big boys, the big powers, but she doesn't. In fact, she's perhaps hired by those powers to come into town and do organizing. She's been quite successful. She's been organizing around against the library tax, Proposition L, against the Scotts Valley assessment tax. And in some respects, I'm ever sympathetic with individual activists like Carolyn who are able to go out there and successfully mobilize people. It's just, however, it's a question of objectives. Getting close to the end of our hour here, so if you want to call in, you're going to miss your chance to talk to the infamous Bathrobespierre, and that's me, Bathrobespierre Robert. This show happens every Monday and Friday at 10, unless I decide that not enough people are calling in and nobody wants to hear me. And if that's the case, hey, I just may drive north and go to the movies or something. You never can tell. But what's happening up north, by the way, is more cover-up around the Aaron Williams case. Aaron Williams, you may remember, was a man who was beaten, kicked, pepper-gassed, and then left to die by the San Francisco Police Department. The men who did it are not even suspended from the force, but defended. And there's a good editorial on this that I brought along by the attorney that's representing the Aaron Williams family, Robert E. Kroll, and it's in the July 12th Chronicle. I'm going to read you some of that until I hear a caller, at which point I will interrupt my reading and to take a call. The Aaron Williams homicide investigation had apparently been aborted even before the murder investigator knew the actual cause of death. Williams is the 35-year-old Western Addition warehouseman who died tragically June 4th in the back of a San Francisco Police Department paddy wagon. Nearly two dozen eyewitnesses, including a San Francisco deputy sheriff, describe Williams being hogtied, slammed with a billy club, beaten, kicked in the face, stomped, pepper gassed three times, according to the police report, his face covered with a surgical mask that would have prevented dissipation of a spray, and laughed at when he cried, "Mommy, Mommy, and you're killing me." Yet on June 28th, police homicide investigators cleared all officers involved in the case of any criminal wrongdoing. Even if their brutality did not kill Williams, Coroner Boyd Stevens has hinted that their callous disregard of police policies and regulations may have resulted in his death. Positional asphyxia, suffocating from being hogtied and placed on one's stomach or side, is a likely cause of death, according to Stevens. Williams was then thrown in the back of a police wagon without medical attention, where he died 28 minutes later as officers bickered over who should call for an ambulance, according to the police radio transcript. Police radio transcripts also show that there may have been no logical basis for detaining or suspecting Williams at the time of the assault. Police Chief Anthony Ribera set the tone for this abortion of justice, and his current actions could set the stage for a Rodney King-like outcome. Despite the evidence of criminality available to police investigators early on, Ribera did not, 1, apologize to the family and community for any unnecessary force and for the lack of medical attention provided Williams, 2, did not suspend, with or without pay, any of the officers involved in the tragedy, though he immediately suspended a black officer recently accused of sexual harassment, 3, did not disapprove of the callous and defamatory police statements about Williams, that is, that he was a, quote, bum to his family, unquote, that he was an intravenous drug user, untrue, and may have been HIV positive, no basis for that claim, and that Williams had just committed a commercial burglary in the neighborhood, and 4, did not assure the community that there will be swift and certain justice. Instead, Ribera has been quoted as telling the police officers in the Richmond District Station House a few days after Williams died at their feet, if not at their hands, quote, I will not throw you to the wolves, unquote. When confronted publicly with that statement, Ribera didn't deny it, explain it, or even attempt to excuse it. Ribera's actions are causing the community to view the Aaron Williams case as a self-justifying police lynching involving gross physical abuse and neglect followed by a concerted high-level cover-up. Ribera has called for a round of investigations. What choice has he? Some of these continue and may result in positive reforms. But the community has no reason to anticipate prompt or objective findings based on the chief's statements and actions since the incident. Ribera created an atmosphere of a cover-up in the making rather than the impression that there would be an unfettered search for truth and justice. What should he have done? He might have addressed the police force and affirmed the department's opposition to brutality without conceding the conduct alleged in the Williams case at this point. He might have suspended the officers with pay and announced that publicly. It seems likely that the chief's handling of this matter so far will likely result in a further drop in police morale, a further deterioration in community police relations, and a far higher cost to the city for litigating this matter. The city's culpability will be judged in light of its reaction to the event as well as to the actual damages. Robert E. Kroll, Chief Ribera, and the Aaron Williams case, that's in San Francisco Chronicle of July 12th. He's a partner in the Oakland law firm Livingston and Kroll, which represents the Williams family. And there was a large demonstration, well, let's not say that, there was a small demonstration in San Francisco at the Civilian Police Review Board of San Francisco, which is known as the Office of Civilian Complaints. Both the Chronicle and the Examiner have stories about this. They say 200 protesters, so we can probably double that. Who knows how many. Here's the story by Clarence Johnson on that march. This is from, again, the July 12th Chronicle. San Francisco protesters denounce police, 200 marched to City Hall, say department out of control. Nearly 200 people marched into City Hall yesterday, that was on July 11th, declaring that the San Francisco Police Department is out of control and pleading for an end to what they call an epidemic of police brutality. Stirred by Aaron Williams, who died after fighting police officers last month, that sounds like a Chronicle editorial, the group packed the supervisor's chamber for an emotional two-hour hearing on police policies before the board's Economic Vitality and Social Policy Committee. Much to the surprise of supervisors, no one attended from the police department, a move that board members called highly unusual. Police declined to comment on the Williams case. It was the second time in 6 months that scores of citizens have come to the board to protest police conduct. A similar session occurred after police stormed a warehouse on New Year's Eve and allegedly assaulted hundreds of gay partygoers. In my 31 years in this city, I am now growing convinced that we are growing further apart by race, class, by where we live, where we work, said a distraught Reverend Cecil Williams of Glide Memorial Church. It is a time that people who serve the community act like they serve the community. Aaron Williams was just a symbol of many people who are abused by police. With that, a long line of witnesses, many of them choking back tears, began to tell tales of police beatings and harassment that date back years. Van Jones of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights said Williams is not the only person who has died in police custody since June. This is the bloodiest summer in the memory of San Francisco, and it's not even August. The committee was repeatedly told that filing complaints is useless because wayward officers are seldom disciplined. Santa Cruzans, does this sound familiar? To be perfectly honest with you, the OCC, Office of Citizens Complaints, is a joke, said Lefty Gordon, director of the Ella Hill Hutch Community Center, referring to the police watchdog agency that has a backlog of misconduct cases going back years. It's imperative that you do something about this. The absence of anyone from the police department dismayed supervisors. Supervisor Willie Kennedy said Deputy Police Chief Frank Reed sent word that no police officials were coming because, quote, they've heard all this before. The police need to listen to this, said Kennedy, who threatened to subpoena police brass. The attitude that they show today is that they don't give a damn. Among other things, witnesses asked whether the Office of Civilian Complaints could be removed from the police department and put in another agency, perhaps the Human Rights Commission. our Santa Cruz Civilian Police Review Board is essentially a little appendage or lapdog of the police department as well. Though they aren't officially a part of the police department, they apparently can't even get enough authority together to get a full complaint from the police department as mandated by law. Instead, they get the police department's description of a complaint, and then they get the opportunity to walk over to the police department and read under armed guard the police officer's personnel file, which has that complaint in it and sealed up in that file. Continuing the story in the San Francisco Chronicle about the protest at the police commission in San Francisco 3 or 4 days ago, witnesses asked why the 12 officers involved in the death of Williams are still on active duty while another officer accused of child molestation was immediately placed on leave. An internal review has found no evidence to support charges against the officers who suspected Williams of a burglary. Other investigations are still being conducted. How many officers who are charged with misconduct are actually disciplined? And that, too, we don't know here in Santa Cruz. Supervisor Barbara Kaufman, who was also upset with the police no-show, said she, too, would like to hear the answers. I am very displeased, she said, whenever a hearing is called, there is a representative from the department. Well, will her displeasure result in some action? Unfortunately, the history of the Board of Supervisors on that issue in San Francisco is not a very good one. I'd like to read you a little more, but I may have to go because I may have another show host coming up right behind me. I'm going to put on a little music for you from Mark Levy's Heroes, Sheroes. Again, we'll continue with him. And I'm going to pretend I'm leaving and hope that I can get back. If I can't get back, the next voice you hear will be our next talk show host. But I'm hoping that I can read you a little bit more about the Aaron Williams case, because I think it's real interesting and real important. Even the mainstream media stuff is enough to turn your stomach on this, or the inaction of the police department, the cover-up. But in case I don't get back to you, I want to thank you for staying with me in the last 2 hours, if you did. I want to encourage you to stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 89.3 FM. And you can call in still at 427-3772. And now we have a little bit more of Mark Levy, Heroes, Sheroes. And maybe some more of Bathrobes, Pierre Roberts, Broadsides.
Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy, to human worth, to faith we kept, for you, my sons, for you, my sons, for you. Now hear a tale of two who came to be accused and wrongly blamed for crimes of treason. They were framed, their names are yet defamed. Yes, they hear my song, and hear it well. The Rosenbergs and Mortsobel were locked into a living hell, a lonely prison cell. Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy, to human worth, to faith we kept, for you, my sons, for you. The charge was made, conspiracy, and crimes of such a high degree, of secret sold to an enemy across the Cold War sea. For the Russians, too, had got the bomb, and in the storm before the calm, two scapegoats were made over from two children's dad and mom. Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy, to human worth, to faith we kept, for you, my sons, for you. A trial against atomic spies the FBI did organize, and those who dared to criticize were were branded and despised. The evidence was scant and thin. The record well records the sin of our brother, sage of skin, condemning his own kin. Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy. The human worth, to faith we kept for you, my sons, for you. On fraud and lies the case was built, 'twas full of holes, this patchwork quilt. Determined that some blood be spilled, yet justice proved no guilt. The Rosenbergs locked in a cage, the world cried out in shock and rage. But history had turned the page in this atomic age. Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy. To human worth, to faith we kept for you, my sons, for you. Judge Kaufman with his gavel clenched delivered murder from the bench on two brave souls whose lives were wrenched. That thirst for blood be quenched. Appeals and letters came and passed. Now to the lions these were cast, whose only crime was standing fast for justice to the last. The truth had failed to turn the tide. The state rewarded those who lied, while thousands wept and prayed outside. Two guiltless people died. A death with dignity they chose, as millions stood with them opposed. Until this crime has been exposed, their case shall not be closed. Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy. To human worth, to faith we kept for you, my sons, for you. Work and build, my sons, and build a monument to love and joy. To human worth, to faith we kept for you, my sons, for you. For you, my sons, for you.
Sides, bathrobe spear. I'll see you folks later. Bye.
You can stay with me if you want to. And you can play with me. I want you there. And if you feel that I have been deceiving, I saw you come and go without leaving. You better reach out, cross the table. Pass the please. What's the matter? Shadow, pass the chatter. Leave now, you get tired. The better seize the day. Put the rest, no matter. You don't want it. You should go right away if you're leaving. But until it's now, I'm leaving. You know we're not gonna last forever. Oh, I'm desperate, we're leaving together. Understand what you're saying. Oh, your words fall down from above me. And if you fall from those heights, you'll be forsaken. I'll be broken while I'll be taken. You better reach out, grab the bell, and let's travel fast. Give the foolish fast, and you'll find out. Oh.
and the Indian summer is through. You'll be gone down the country in the morning time if I know you. You ain't calling me to join you and I'm spoken for anyway.
She wasn't there, forget that. See, over here we have the Philippines, so far. And, well, it's a big, wide, beautiful world, but we're working on it. I think at this time, I'd like to offer you a little song, if you don't mind. I know you don't, according to law. You know, it's all very well for us to be out here in this nice church here and enjoying ourselves, if not each other. But perhaps it is a good idea occasionally to remember those less fortunate, if only occasionally. And I think the homeless problem is very serious and has become more serious with Marcos and Duvalier and all that, so I felt that it was incumbent upon me to write a kind of an ode to the fallen, and I have done this, and I will sing it, and you will like it. You know, most of my statements can stand on their own two faces, but there are a couple of things I feel need a little further explanation. Only a little knowledge is a gangrenous thing, I always say. But I sang this song in a concert in the other side of Indiana. You know, those people were against East Indians. It was a very moving concert. It wasn't a dry seat in the place, as I recall. Someone came up to me after that concert and said, "George, how do you justify the fact that you and your organization have murdered millions of people all over the world? And some of them weren't even communists." Well, that's true, but if you think about it, well, they're not communists now either, are they? Well, he went on to say, how can you justify torturing people all over the world? Well, I admit that my style of singing is a required taste. And on that note, give me your tired, deposed dictators, your huddled upper classes yearning to fund Contras, the wretched deposed of your nationalized shores. Send these, the throneless, terrorist-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the gold-plated door. They told me he was bad. That's why I'm so sad. I had to depose him. The leader had to back. The crops are all burned, and your crates are all loaded. Your jewelry is packed in the plane right behind. We're flying you out to that faraway exile, where the chase you like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves. The time for an end, goodbye, my Imelda. Adios to Somoza, such a shame what befell ya. You won't have a throne when you ride that big airplane. All they will call you will be Deposi. But if there's some emergency, have Mr. Botha call for me to convey the game. Apartheid lover, he's gonna be lost with a hammer to chase. I look around, but it's you I can't replace. I keep calling you baby, baby, little bosses on the hillside, everyone is my bootlicky-lecky. We are the world. We are the business. We are the ones who make a brighter day for our investment.
There's a choice we're making. Enslaving human life. You make a brighter day. Just you for me.
Well, life bearing arms is never laid back. Ain't much a comfortable like we won't attack. Sandinista peasants in the roof shack. Say now I'm a comfortable. Well, got me a gun and I got a grenade. God bless humanitarian aid. Every mine is American made. Say now I'm a comfortable. Don't it make you feel good helping rebels like me? Killing all the folks in the majority. And that's what I call democracy. Thank God I'm a comfortable.
Yes, and that is Shrub in 88. George Shrub, the committee to intervene everywhere and anywhere. That's Dave Lippmann, indeed, perhaps 6 years, 7 years old, but fun to listen to anyway. And now you're listening to Bathrobes Pierre Robert and Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, a biweekly show, or actually twice a week, Monday and Friday, 10 to 12, in which we discuss issues of poverty rights, life on the streets, and whatever else appeals to me or to you. If you want to give us a call, phone lines are open starting now for the next 2 hours. Phone number is 427-3772 or 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, here in Santa Cruz, the radio station that takes no advertisements, makes no compromises, makes no deals, and has no friends at the FCC. As some of you regular listeners may be knowing, I just got the word from our previous host, Skidmarks Bob, that the FCC has stopped interfering with the mail, which apparently it had done for a couple of days in its attempt to put pressure on the household that lives in front of the radio station, even though they're not involved with the radio station. Their mail was held up by the postmaster, who had been told by the FCC that there was illegal broadcasting activity going on. Well, Enragé Ed Fry got on the phone. Ed is one of the FCC targets and a local attorney, and also a prime opponent of District Attorney Drumhead Art Danner. And he talked to the postmaster and told him to get the mail back on track, and the mail apparently is back on track. Also, I was going to give you a report on the FCC in court up in Oakland. It is pursuing another sister station up there, Radio Free Berkeley, actually one of the original stations, emceed by Stephen Dunifer, among other people, and Carol Denny. And I haven't heard anything, but I guess no news is good news here. So there has been no expansion of the FCC's power, no censorship of micro-broadcasting at the moment that I'm aware of, and I'm grateful for that. It enables me to give you my voice and for you to give me yours today if you want to give me a call here at 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hey. No sooner do I speak than the phone rings. Let's see what's happening here. We're having a problem here, folks.
I'm looking. Lift up the thing. That one on the end. You know, you're talking about the plugs going into the phone? Yeah. Can't pull it out and plug it in?
Okay, we're on.
Hey.
My apologies to our audience, folks. We had a somewhat incompetent staff here, namely me.
What staff? You're the only staff there.
I'm the staff infection here in the studio. But anyway, we do have you, Copwatch Bob, or Skidmarks Bob. Or
what?
Bad Boy Bob. Go ahead, tell us what...
There was a hearing on the Friday,
mm-hmm.
last Friday, at the FCC was supposed to find out what they're going to do next in the Dunifer case, and they... to much a surprise, they continued it again. I think it's been the third continuance that they've done that they couldn't, you know, they didn't have anything to charge.
And it's continued until that date?
I'm not sure. I don't know the date. September 21st.
Now, can you hear your voice coming out of the radio right now?
Can you hear my voice? Yes.
Good, because it's not registering much on the dial here.
Yeah, you might want to move the sticker over to where... where it is now.
Good idea.
Won't throw people off.
So people are not confused by your cryptography here.
But yeah, that's the latest thing on the FCC. Another thing, there's a meeting tonight for Lower Ocean folks. I didn't get to get it out on the air last night.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight at 6 p.m. where the tennis courts are off of, I think that's East Cliff. You know where the tennis courts are? They want to make them into roller rinks or something.
That's near the bridge, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a meeting for Lower Ocean residents.
About what time is that again?
6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, they're going to be talking about this whole area out here. If so, anybody who lives out in this area should show up for that meeting. Who's concerned about what's going on? There's a lot of people making decisions about where we live. I live in the area, and where people live, and we should show up, especially if they're very concerned about the police and things, and what the Resource Center for Nonviolence and Eric Larson are doing.
What are the Resource Center and Eric Larson doing?
Well, the latest thing is that I guess Eric is starting a garden over on Campbell and, where is that area, over Campbell and Barson.
Mm-hmm.
There's an empty lot there, and I think that's a really good idea. He's starting a garden. He's got a lot of Latino kids working there, and then I went and asked him if other people can get involved, and he kind of like shunned me away from it because of my
radical
background.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what's going on there, but I talked to some other people. I think I'm going to try to get some other people involved and actually know how to build a garden, because I don't know if he does.
You think Eric and his crew are going to be as interested in stopping INS and police abuses in the beach flats and planting vegetables? What do you think?
I don't know. They're kind of worried about the so-called drug problem that they have on a corner that the government supports every day. But that's the only thing that they're concentrated on. You know, they're not really talking much about INS raids or, you know, what some of the stuff that the beach flats have been doing.
Well, I understand from kind of anecdotal reports I've gotten of Food Not Bombs meals from people like Candlelight Kim Margula, that there has been a step-up in the police presence down in that area, or am I mistaken there?
No, it's there. There's a lot of people that have been
I know there's been a step-up in the Latino neighborhoods up in San Francisco. There apparently are... They're actually coming up at 1 o'clock at night and jacking everybody up with 8 squad cars, putting everybody against the wall on Mission Street in San Francisco, is the word from activists with the group Food Not Bombs up there.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to mischaracterize what's going on here in the beach flats.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any news or information about that,
I'd be grateful if I give a call here to join the dialogue to 427-3772 at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And I guess there's one more question I wanted to ask you. And it's lingering on my mind, but it's not lingering clearly enough for me to talk to you about it. So I will hope that if it comes to mind, I'll put it over the air and you will pick it up and immediately jump to the phone again.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
If I'm listening.
Sounds good.
All right. So remember, for people in Lower Ocean, tonight, 6 o'clock, meet at the tennis courts off of, what is that, East Cliff Drive?
Mm-hmm.
Where the, I guess they got a new roller rink there or something, I don't know, but they're going to make some decisions about your neighborhood if you live here, and I encourage people to come out to it.
The other thing is Mumia, I guess that's what I was going to ask you about. Have you got any new information on upcoming demos around Mumia?
There was one last night, there was a video showing an information thing, and speeches and things at the Vets Hall, but I couldn't make it, I was at the radio thing, so.
Yeah, there was a recent article in the paper that the judge is likely to turn down his request that I guess that the judge be disqualified if there be a further appeal. I'll be reading from that article later in the show, but
okay.
There's not much to the article. If you have more information, if anybody has more information on Mumia Abu-Jamal that they wish to, you know, put out, give a call.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that, of course, was the notorious, much beloved, and often out of key, well, just kidding about that one, Skidmarks Bob. And no sooner do I hang up and I'm about to speak my piece when the phone rings again. Well, we're just going to have to answer it.
Hi there, you're on the radio Santa Cruz. Whoops.
Too late. Call back, please. I'm sorry that I just missed your call, caller, whoever you were. And if you have information, we are interested. It's sometimes difficult to get the phone, and we are having a little bit of technical difficulty here at the keyboard or the control panel, what you will. Some topics that you might consider joining me in discussing today. Public defenders in Santa Cruz. Threat or menace? That's one topic I wanted to bring up to you. Another subject that I mentioned before, well, I guess it's kind of a reaction I'm having to a column I read. Wait, there's another call. We'll be right back with more of that, but here's our caller.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I was just wondering why you come up with all the silly nicknames that you've given everybody.
Uh-huh.
Where do you come up with those?
Actually, I have a large dictionary at home.
You make them up? I mean, like, what's candlelight? You know, why is it Kim Candlelight Margula? Because it's got a k sound in it?
Well, the real reason that Kim Candlelight, our caller is referring to the...
I've never seen her with candles, you know.
Right. Sort of like Kim no longer uses candles. It's apparently passé. But when Kim's first illegal action, possibly her second, was in the occupation of the Heiner House in 1992... At which point she brought candles to the people who were sleeping in at that house. Hence the name Candlelight Kim Margula.
So people don't know that, then they're just going, what?
Exactly. And so it inspires people like yourself.
How come you don't have one?
How come I don't have
a nickname like that?
I bet I do.
What is it?
Well, it's Bathrobe's Pier, as we name our show.
You made that up.
Actually, I didn't.
You made it up yourself.
It was made up by one of my friendly attorney friends.
Okay, well, we got a new one, because I think you're making up names for people.
What name do you have for me? By the way, you should introduce yourself. Is this Ed himself?
No, this is Ed.
Oh, this is Ed.
The fuck you think you're talking to?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is R.I.J. Ed.
This is Chuck E. Farley.
Ed.
And we here have reached consensus on a nickname. We here at the only people that listen to your show.
Yeah.
We decided to call you, so it's Pierre, right? Let's see. Robert Doolittle Pierre.
Robert Doolittle Pierre.
Yeah.
It has
Dr. Doolittle kind of thing. Talking to the animals.
Well, I believe you're talking to both animals and humans. That's what
you're
talking
to.
That's
what we were thinking was, you know, because talk to animals.
Talks with the animals, walks with the animals.
Yeah. Okay, I'm bored now.
Yeah, so am I, actually, but I want to thank you.
A lot of time on his hands has our man, who I won't identify by his true name because that would be too cruel, was going to be discussed.